Sermon study number R2R34.
The 11th message, titled Spiritual Tabernacle, Salt of the Spirit and the Word, was given at a Sunday school class, March 12th, 1961.
A Sunday school lesson this morning, the last commandment here at the table of showbread here. And then we'll be ready to go on up to the Ark of the Covenant, as it were, in the spiritual tabernacle of Jesus here. And after that, well, we'll be able to get into the book of Revelation before too many more weeks and months go by. Let's turn to the fifth chapter of Matthew, and we have a wonderful lesson this morning about salt. You've heard us refer to the covenant of salt and talk about it at various times and have learned a little bit about it, but maybe this morning we'll get the full stature of this matter about salt, or at least we'll get started. You'll notice in Matthew, the fifth chapter, and verse 13, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savior, that is his strength, his life, his power, wherewith shall it be salted? Who can restore it?" There's only one place to get the taste of salt, and that is in salt, isn't it, huh? Amen. And if salt have lost its savior, what are you going to season your food with? Where are you going to go to get salt? I believe that my husband tells me that salt is a combination of sodium and chlorine. Sodium and chlorine. Well, where's the taste at? In the sodium or in the chlorine? It's a combination of the two then. Is that right? In other words, you wouldn't get a salt taste by either one of those by themselves. Well, then it has to be the combination of the two. Isn't that right, huh? Sodium and chlorine. All right, what is that a picture to of us? Listen to me, beloved. It's a picture of this, of the Spirit and the Word. That's right. And until you get the two together, you're not going to be salt, spiritually speaking. You're not going to have life and strength and savor inside of yourself. Can you see why the devil has delighted in dividing the Christian camp, as it were, into two sides, those that are strong on the Spirit and those that are strong on the Word? And like Brother says back here, that when you divide them, I mean, they're deadly poison. But when you bring them together, you have a new substance called salt that's formed, that gives a taste and a savior and a life and a strength and all the food. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And so, beloved, it's when we get the Spirit and the Word together that we become salt. In other words, the combination of the Word and the Spirit inside of you makes you salt. Now look how high we are up in the stature. And this is a thing to note here, that it doesn't matter how high up you get, beloved, there's always that possibility of losing your salt. Amen. Losing your Savior. He said if the salt has lost its Savior, where are you going to go to? When salt loses its savior, and I believe they tell me that when it's exposed too much to the air and to the wind and the elements of this world, that it will lose its savior. It will lose its strength. And beloved, that's the way it is with you and me. Here we are in the holy place. We find the salt in the holy place this morning. If you don't go to the holy place, you'll lose the Savior. You'll lose the salt. You'll lose the strength of the combination of the Spirit and the Word. Amen. And he said, what good is it then? It is good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. Salt is used for the to preserve and to season and to taste. And if it's lost that, then it's lost its use. Isn't that right? And it's good for nothing but to be cast out. And so it is, beloved, with you and me this morning. If we lose the salt, we lose the taste, taste. And listen, when you begin to lose your taste to get in prayer and in the Spirit, and when you begin to lose your taste, that thing down within you, you know what salt does? It makes you thirsty. And when you begin to lose that thirst for the Word of God and that thirst for prayer, beloved, you're getting in a dangerous condition. You've been exposed too much to the things of this world, and you haven't gone into the holy place. The only place you're going to preserve the salt is in the holy place. Oh, would that God's people would learn that secret, and you know it. When you come into the house of God and the Word has no taste for you, it's not the fault of the Word, it's the fault of the salt within you. And when you come to the house of God and you feel like just sitting like a knot on a log, and you don't feel like getting in the Spirit, you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like entering in, it's not the church, it's not the people, it's you. You've lost the salt. My, this business of salt is a tremendous thing. Now remember, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. When you've got the Spirit and the Word formed inside of you, it's that Spirit and that Word together, beloved, that becomes salt. Now then, we want to go and study about this matter of salt through the Word of God. God has not left us ignorant of these things. As someone has said, the best commentary upon the Bible is the Bible itself. If you don't understand one verse, then there's other places where God has built statues of truth that will explain every verse in the Bible. You believe that? I know so, because all this Bible fits into this stature of Jesus. Amen. And if you want to understand the hand, then go and study about the rest of the body. Amen. And study about the rest of the Scriptures that fit in with the hand. And you'll find revelation and light coming. Now then, let's look into the Word of the Lord. I don't know how far I'll get this morning, but this is a big subject, this matter of salt. And he said, ye are the salt of the world. And so let's look and see what God means for us to be. What are the four great points of truth about the salt that God has laid down in His Word? Then you'll understand what you are in this world and what your responsibility is in this world. And we find, beloved, the first thing that salt was used for was a covenant. Let's look here at the covenant here. Let's go back to Leviticus, the second chapter, and we see some great things there about the salt of the covenant. In the second chapter of Leviticus, you'll find a stature of truth in the Word about salt being used as a covenant. There's a little stature here of truth. You just see the cross of Jesus over and over from Genesis to Revelation. And beloved, this salt of a covenant, why did they use the salt to represent a covenant? Because it represented loyalty. It represented a security. It represented a covenant that could not be broken as long. Listen, what does it mean to have a covenant? It means two coming together. God made a covenant with man. But there's God's side and there's your side. Just like there's two parts of the salt. There's the sodium and there's the chlorine. And as long as it's together in union, in covenant harmony, you have salt. And so it is with us. As long as we are in union with God, then we'll have a covenant of loyalty and a security and a fidelity. It's just a wonderful. And it also means a durable there. A covenant, beloved, that'll endure throughout endless ages as long as you keep the two together. Now then, let's look here and we'll see about the covenant in the second chapter of Leviticus, verse 13. And he said, and every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be likened from any meat offering, or it's really meal offering, bread offering, that's what he's talking about. And with all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Amen. And so isn't that wonderful? God has entered into a covenant, a marriage relationship with us. And it's the responsibility of the husband to provide the bread for the wife. Amen. But he's not going to provide the bread for the wife only as long as she stays with him. He's not going to provide her bread as long as she's going to go out and try to be married to somebody else too. You see what I mean? There's only a covenant of responsibility as long as the two stay together. God says, I've entered into a covenant, a salt covenant. You'd have to know the background, as I've told you before, of this salt covenant, the importance of it, and how that the people, even every Arab person, they have tremendous respect for the salt covenant. If they would come in and they start to rob your house, and a lot of people are tricky. They tell me, our friends from the eastern countries, that like if they have jewels and things that are precious, they'll hide salt. So that if the thief comes to get it and he would take a hold of the most precious treasure, if it had salt on it and he happened to get that salt near his mouth, well, then he'd lay that jewelry down and walk out. Why? Because he touched the covenant of salt. And when I think of that, I think, oh my, listen to me, beloved. When we reach up and we touch Jesus and we've got a hold of the Spirit and the Word, we've got a hold of the salt. Listen to me, from him, oh my, and he's entered into a covenant and he's promised to supply our bread on the Mahaya, and we've entered into a salt covenant. And how often then do we go out looking then to some other source or some other strange lover, as it were, to supply our bread, our strength, our sustenance, our life, other than the Lord Jesus? If those heathen people can respect the covenant of salt in the natural, how much more we ought to respect it in the spiritual? Huh? Now God said that when you offer your bread, put the salt on it. Praise God. Because that's a symbol of marriage union between you and me. Amen. And I'll provide you bread. And some of the bread was offered upon the altar. And some of the bread was given unto the priest, and they ate of it. It's a picture of our Jesus. He's our bread. He's our salt covenant this morning. Oh my, and part of him was offered up as a sweet savior unto God the Father, because it said it pleased him to bruise him. Amen. And there's another portion of him that God has meted out to you and me by salt covenant this morning. Beloved, this covenant is supposed to work loyalty and fidelity. It will, if you'll let it work. If you'll let the salt work, amen, it'll work within you this morning. Blessed be his holy name. Now then, let's hurry on. In Numbers 18 and 19, you'll find something else about the salt covenant. In Numbers, the 18th chapter, I believe it is. Let's start in verse 18. Oh, this is real precious. And God said, put not only the salt on the bread, but put the salt on the meat. God has promised and has entered in. Now, what's he saying? Ye are the salt of the world. Beloved, you've got this bread within you. Listen, as long as you stay in covenant relationship with him, he said, you are the salt of the earth. You've got salty bread this morning that'll make other hearts thirsty and hungry for Jesus if you'll just pass it out. Did you know that? Amen. Just pass it out. Sure, I know some will spit upon it and will despise it, but bless God, you'll find some hearts along the way that'll be hungry and thirsty and will eat the bread. And when they eat the bread that's got salt on it, you ever notice when you eat crackers that are salty? Well, then you want a drink. Amen. And so it is. As we eat this bread, this salt bread, it makes us thirsty for him. And the more we drank of him, the more bread we had to share with others. Let's look at it here in Numbers now. And he said, in the flesh of them shall be in 18:18, Numbers chapter 18 and verse 18. Now he said, and the flesh of them shall be thine, as a wave breast and as the right shoulder are thine. All the heap offerings of the holy thing which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. Now let me explain something. Let's say that this morning we were back in the olden days before that Jesus came and died upon the cross, and we had to use the blood of bulls and bullocks, and we had to use the meat of bulls and bullocks and lambs and rams and all of those animals that God ordained that was clean and could be used in sacrifice. And let's say that I'm the priest this morning, and you came and you brought a ram unto me. There was a portion, as I said, that belonged unto God. And after we shed the blood, and the blood was offered according to whatever kind of offering you were offering up, whether it was a sin offering or a consecration offering. And then I would take the breast. You know, the breast speaks of love and affection. And I would wave it to and fro before the Lord. And then I would take the right shoulder, or actually the loin, the thigh is what it means there. And I would heave it up and down. And I've told you before, what do you see, huh? The cross. Here was the wave offering that was waved to and fro. Oh my. And here was the right shoulder that was heaved up and down, showing the meat of the cross. I want you to notice that. And there was the portion that God received from the hands of the priest and was burnt upon the altar. And as that flesh burnt, beloved, the fire transformed it and changed it into its own image and released the sweet-smelling Savior that went up unto the nostrils of God. If the heart of the person that was offering accompanied that sacrifice. You understand what I'm talking about, huh? But there was a portion that was left for the priest and his family that he could eat of the meat of the breast offering. Praise God. And of the thigh offering. God said, you can have it forever. It's a covenant of salt. Oh, hallelujah. I'm your husband. I've entered into a salt covenant with you. And I'll supply your needs. I'll feed you. They got the best meat, if you please. The breast offering and the thigh or the shoulder offering heaved up and down. Isn't that wonderful? God receives some of it. Isn't that precious when we come around the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ? God sits on one side, as it were, and we sit on another side, and we both partake of the salt covenant. There's a portion of the Lamb that pleases God and He feeds upon, and there's another portion He's meted out unto us. But beloved, He's promised us our meat and our bread. He's entered into a salt covenant with us as a husband. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's a durable covenant. It's a loyal covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. The only way you can break it, beloved, is for you to turn your back on it and go away from it and just live out there in the world among the breath of the people. Too much air, too much breath from the people. You see what I mean? And not stay in the holy place and break the salt of the covenant. And then you'll find God letting your spiritual pantry be lean of bread and meat. But God has given us the salt covenant. Now He said, ye are the salt of the earth. What have you got? You're the salt of the world. You're the salt of the earth. What have you got? You've got salty bread and salty meat this morning that'll make people thirsty. But if the salt's gone out of it, the bread and the meat that you got yesterday is not going to produce nothing in the hearts of the people that you give it to. Did you know that, huh? I get excited about these things because they're so true. I never wrote the Bible. How could I figure out all of these things? No human being could do it. Why? You just start studying and start writing down what you see, what you learn, and there it comes out just like that. It's the cross of Jesus over and over. Oh yes, I know a lot of people don't like it. The Israelites, they didn't like the bread that come down during the wilderness. They got tired of the salty bread, didn't they, huh? But But oh, beloved, to the bride, hallelujah, this is bride's bread, this is bride's meat, and to her she doesn't get tired. Oh, every time he passes out a new piece of salty bread, it just starts stirring her all over again, and she just starts getting excited, and oh, she just wants to love him more, and she feels that love coming out of her soul that just almost turns her inside out sometimes. Beloved, when the waves of the bridegroom love sweep your soul, it just almost overwhelms you. You just feel like you could die right then for Jesus. You love him so much. Amen. Praise God. Where do you get that kind of love? Beloved, you get it out of the salty bread and the salty meat. Don't forget that when that priest, listen to me, ate that bread and ate this meat, he ate the salt upon it likewise. Amen. And beloved, if we really eat of Jesus, we're going to eat of the salt. Listen to me, of loyalty and fidelity and durableness. We're not going to be up one day and down the next and in one day and out the next. We can't make up our mind this way. Beloved, people never got a hold of the salt. Once you get a hold of the salt, come down out of behind you. On the Lamb, it does something to you. It works the fidelity. It works the loyalty. It works the durableness in your heart. Oh my, and there's no turning back.
Amen. Amen.
I used to puzzle about these things until I understood the word of the Lord more perfectly and more completely. And I wondered why that some could eat and could go back and just kick over the table of showbread. Some of the old-timers from the old mission over on Jefferson Street, they can remember when the Holy Ghost spoke and said that there were a bunch of those people over there that had kicked over the table of showbread. And God said he'd take the bread away from them. And bless God, he has too. And the Holy Ghost spoke too. And said they kicked over the table of showbread. And beloved, listen, we can't kick over the salty bread and remain in covenant with him. But you know why? They just got a little taste of the bread, but they didn't get the salt on it. That's what happened. Once you get a taste of this salt covenant, there's no going back. I wondered why they could, and I couldn't. Even back years ago, when I didn't know nothing, hardly from nothing. Don't know too much now, but I know an awful lot more than I did then. And it just seemed like that there was something in me that just made me keep on going on. And I found out now that it's that salt of Jesus, that salt of fidelity and loyalty and security that come into my heart. And I can't ever be the same from that day unto this. Let's hurry on now. The word is so chock full. That's why it's a thrill to me to get alone with God in my study. Oh, that's the greatest times of my life when I can get alone with God and begin to lay hold of the salty bread. Praise God. Because this word is just full of it, beloved. My. All right, let's go a little bit further and we'll see something else that the Lord has promised us as the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, listen. We say it over and over, but it's only because it's true over and over that we need to be ready. The coming of the Lord is soon. And if the bride doesn't begin to make herself ready now, she's not going to be ready for his coming. That's all there is to it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Chronicles, yes, that's it. 2 Chronicles 13:5. That's what we want here. Praise God. And it's let's go back and pick up the verse 3. It says, now Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with the 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. Now what do we have? We have the camp of Israel divided in two. And that's just like God's people are now. Listen to me. Here was Israel over on one side are the 10 tribes. And then over on the other side with their leader here was Judah. And so we have Israel divided, and they were warring back and forth one with another. Isn't that the condition of God's people? They are divided, and they are warring back and forth, even within their own groups. Beloved, is that the way that God has ordained for us to settle our battles and our differences? Somebody is wrong. And if people were sincere in heart, they'd want to get out and fast and pray through until God revealed them the truth. Did you know that? But instead of that, they're fighting back and forth. And so we see this fighting not only among the different denominations, but within the denominations. Oh my, they're warring and fighting back and forth. Even among our Jesus name people, look how much fighting and how many different groups they busted off into. And everybody a warring against somebody else. And God's house is divided. And the devil is laughing up his sleeve. And hell is enlarged in her mouth. And souls are going down into the Mahanaya, into the bottomless pit of hell, beloved. Oh my, my God, people are setting and a fighting and a war instead of getting hold to the salt of the covenant to make people thirsty. My, my. I know when you preach the truth, it makes people fight. But beloved, God don't want us to be fighters. Now that's all there are to it. And when I've got to fight, well then I'm just going to zip up my Bible and go find something else to do. Because God called us to be witnesses and not fighters. Amen. Jesus didn't fight. When he was oppressed and he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. And beloved, when they plucked the hairs out of his face, he didn't open his mouth. And he told us when they smite you on one side, he said, you turn the other side. Oh my. But beloved, God don't want us to be fighters. He wants us to be witnesses of the truth. Amen. He wants us to be humble so that if the truth comes through somebody else, if you love the truth, you love him because he's truth. And beloved, when you really love him and you've got a hold of this salt, you'll be looking for bread or meat or anything you can get through many of God's children. I don't care how wrong they are on some things. They may have it and they have got a little bit of truth. Don't you reject the truth because you be rejecting him. Then let's look on here. So the Israel and Judah were fighting. The Spirit of God here, through the servant of God, is reminding them something. It says, then Abijah stood up on Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? What's God saying? He's saying here, the king from Judah rose up and stood up on a mountain. And he said unto these people over here, what are you warring for? You have taken the kingdom and you've taken the rule and reign unto your own hands. And God never did give it to you. He gave it unto King David and unto his sons and his seed after him. And he said, in other words, God gave the kingdom to Judah through David by a covenant of salt. And why did God do that, beloved? God was showing us the picture, beloved. Oh, he's given us a kingdom. He's given us a rule and a reign. What does the kingdom speak of? It speaks of reigning with Christ. Salt of the covenant. Praise God. We've been given this kingdom, this rule and this reign with Jesus, beloved, by a salt of covenant. Isn't that wonderful? And so he's saying, ye are the salt of the earth. What's he saying? You're the kingdom. You're the salt. You're the kingdom. You're the rule and the reign. Beloved, we let the devil reign over us. Did you know that? A lot of times. We let the devil reign over us, even physically. We let the devil reign over us, even in our flesh, in our attitudes, in our dispositions. Who do you want to rule over you this morning? Oh my. When you eat of this salty bread and this salty meat, it'll bring you up to the salty rain, hallelujah, of the Lord Jesus Christ within you, as sure as you're sitting in your seat. I'm not perfect in this thing this morning, as far as being absolutely complete and needing nothing else to be added, but bless God, beloved, I have drunk and I have eaten, and I know this thing is a working and a ruling and a reigning in my life, and it's so wonderful. Praise God. I just don't have this words to describe. We don't even know, because we don't know the mind of God except as He revealed it. You don't even know how to study and pray without the Holy Ghost. You don't even know where to go in your Bible. You don't know what you have need of. You don't know how to pray as you ought. You don't know whether to read your Bible first or to pray first or to pray first and read your Bible next. I went to my closet the other day, Monday I believe it was, and I went to my study, and I was, you know, you're zealous and you want to get under the burden and you want to pray for your people and you want to intercede and travail. You don't want to waste time and you don't want to be lazy, and you're so zealous to be used of God, but God's got to reign over your zeal, beloved. Did you know that? And I was getting nowhere. Oh yes, I was praying, but I mean the Holy Ghost wasn't coming. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And He spoke to me just this plain. And He said, get up and go to your study. He said, you're tired. You're emptied out. He said, I'll put in my word. And as I put in my word, He said, you'll have strength. And then you'll come back and pray. And I went to my study, and God began to lay out in the word. And He began to get, He began to feed me. And I began to get a hold of some salty bread and some salty meat. And then I was all stirred up. I just couldn't wait to get back upstairs then. And God said, now's the time, go. And when I come up, beloved, God poured the water down because the salt had come in. You see that? Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. What was that? Beloved, that was the salt covenant of His kingdom and His ruling and His reigning. Amen. Israel was wanting to fight the battle. See, when she wasn't ordained to fight the battle. See what I mean? It works in your everyday life. But we'll go on. Now then, about this salt of covenant, we've mentioned it before. Let's go to Ezekiel. Doesn't it thrill you to go back and catch up and see where that the word of the Lord fits in together in the stature? Doesn't that thrill your heart? It does me. Now, we've studied with you time again. Well, or at least a few times, several times. We're always referring to this portion in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. And so I'll draw a little line up here. This goes up to the top of your cross, but I haven't got room to write it. And that is union. Praise God. Union. Or that you're no more two, but you're one. Praise God. With the Spirit and the Word. And so God wants us to keep on growing in the salt of the covenant. Is that true? Is that Bible? What did Jesus pray in the 17th chapter of John in His great high priestly prayer? He prayed that they might be one. Union. Keep on eating of the salty bread and the salty meat, and keep on eating of the salt of His ruling and reigning until you come up into perfect unity and oneness with Him. Now, you'll understand better this chapter here. But when I preach on this chapter, you see, I couldn't go back and give you all this stature of the covenant. This will take me weeks, maybe, if I really went into it right. I'll try to hurry it up. But it'll take us a while to cover this one big stature about salt. And you'll understand this 16th chapter, and you'll understand why that God had the people to salt the infants when they were born. As we've read before, let's read here in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem. Who was Jerusalem? She wasn't Babylon, beloved. She wasn't the sinner out there. She was God's people. And God said, cause Jerusalem to know her sins. Again, Isaiah cried out by the Spirit of God. And God told him, lift up your voice, cry out, and spare not, and supposed to know her abominations and her iniquities. Beloved, that's the message that God's raising up today. The message that God has given us here. Amen. That the young ministers are laying hold of and spreading it. And as they're causing God's people to know their need and know their abomination, God is bringing revival. Revival has always come when God's people have found their need. Did you know that? And have seen themselves as God sees them and begin to cry out and to mourn and to weep to go on for God. Beloved, I don't care where we are this morning. I don't care how high we are in God. We've got things to weep about. Amen. That's not like Jesus in our life, if we want to be honest. And if you don't know where they are, you get out and ask Him. Because if you already like Him completely, 100%, you'd be translated. That's for sure. Do we have Bible for that? Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Oh, that word walk. I have a lesson on that in the spiritual streams from Genesis when that book comes out that God gave us and what it meant for Enoch to walk with God. And he kept on walking. Walking where? Walking up in the paths of the stature of his likeness. Oh, he kept on climbing higher and higher and higher until one day Enoch was like God and he was translated. And he says, God says he was not, for God took him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Going on in this matter of union, let's hurry and cause God's people to know their abominations. Didn't Jesus tell the Pharisees in that day? He said, they're things that are highly esteemed of men that are an abomination to God. God has to let you know what they are. Now he says, thy birth, he's reminding them. And thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. We've had this little stature of truth here before. There was no one to cut the navel. What was he talking about? The day that Israel was born, beloved, as a nation, and she came out of Egypt through the Red Sea and stood there on the shores of the wilderness. It was the symbol of a newborn nation. There she stood. Oh my. Oh yes, she was shouting and she was hooping it up and she was a playing her tambourines and she was a dancing and having a mighty time. But beloved, there was one thing wrong with her. She hadn't had the navel cord cut. What does the navel cord speak of? We've told you before. Beloved, it speaks of feeding after the past life. As long, listen, as the little babe is in the womb, the navel cord serves it because that's how that it gets its food. But when a birth has taken place, it don't need the navel cord. It don't need the former way of feeding. As long as Israel was down in Egypt, God allowed her to eat Egyptian food. Listen to me. Oh my, of the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the melons and the cucumbers and all the things that satisfied the lust of the flesh and stirred up the passions of the flesh. They were allowed to eat down in Egypt. But now she's come out and somebody must cut the navel cord. But beloved, let me tell you something. God only cuts the navel cord when you want it cut. There's a lot of them that didn't want the navel cord cut. And they kept on. That old cord was still there. And it was that old cord that made them keep on lusting after the leeks and the onions and the garlics and the melons and the cucumbers and all the other things there in Egypt. And so he said here, and neither was thou neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Oh, praise God. We need the washing of the water of the Word to supple us up, beloved. Did you know that? And get us out of our stiffness and our headiness and our high-minded and our shame to yield unto the Spirit of God. And he said, and thou wast not salted. God is the only one that can pass out the salt to you. And he's not going to pass out the salt until you get the navel cord cut. And he's not going to pass out the salt. The salt belongs up in the holy place until you pass this labor and you're willing for the waters in the name of Jesus not only to bathe you outside, but bathe you inside and get you supled up. And after the baby has the navel cord cut and he's all washed, anybody that's ever attended a birth, you know that's the first thing you do is cut a navel cord. And the next thing you do is wash the scum off of that little old fella from his past living quarters. Amen. Get him all washed up, and of course we don't know nothing about the covenant of salt, and so we didn't know how to practice that in our country. But the old timers over in the eastern countries, as soon as the baby then was washed, then they took salt and rubbed it in his skin. You know why? Because, oh my, they say, beloved, that that salt gave that baby a tough skin, gave him a tough hide. Amen. And it would make his skin a firm and tough, so that when he'd come out under that eastern sun, oh my, he wouldn't get blistered and it wouldn't hurt him. And so, beloved, that's what's wrong with a lot of God's people. Once you get the salt rubbed on you, bless God, out of Ohushandaya, it'll take care of those salt spots and those little itchy spots that we squirm. You see what I mean? When we get under pressure and under trial, or when people don't treat us just like we think they ought to treat us, and all we got soft spots. You know what? You know why you feel it? You haven't had the salt of the covenant rubbed on you, beloved. I'm gonna behold you to give you a durable spiritual skin. But it don't matter what people say and how they rub you and so forth. You won't feel it. Not really. Praise God. That's right. As sure as I'm standing in this pulpit, that's right.
Yea, my people, I say to thee, I, the Lord God, do stand in thy midst, looking down upon thee this morning. And I say to thee, thou art those here that have not been rubbed with the covenant of my salt. And I say to thee, I desire to rub thy spiritual skin. Yea, that thou might be durable and loyal and true. Yea, my people, yield unto me and eat of me, and thou shalt find the salt of my word, saith the Lord. Ooh, shunda bahaya. Ooh, shunda bahaya. Ooh, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, shanda baba haya. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. If you need the salt, lift up your hands and ask God to rub you with the salt. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord of Ahandaya. Lord, keep on rubbing us with the salt of your word, Lord. Oh. And we'll finish here. Praise God. The Lord is in our midst. How many of you feeling this morning? Say amen out there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so he said, you was not salted at all. And number four, he said you were not swaddled at all. Praise God. Oh my, they took swaddling bands, they tell me, and they wrapped up a little child until he looked like a mummy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and only his eyes were visible. And they wrapped him up, they swaddled him after they rubbed him with salt. Oh, there's the same picture again, preserving the salt from the air. You see that after the salt was rubbed on? Well, then they swaddled him. They bound him up. Oh, so that the air couldn't deteriorate the strength of the salt. Praise God. And beloved, that's the way it is with us. Oh, this salt, this hidden life, this hidden strength, this hidden love of Jesus that's found up there in that bread, beloved, on the table of showbread, if we don't let God bind us up and separate us from the things of the world and protect it, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. This spiritual salt is the most gentle and soft thing, as it were, that you ever saw. Beloved, you can lose it just like that. And so now we're talking about union. The salt covenant for union. God told her there was nobody to salt her. There was nobody to cut the navel cord or wash her or salt her or swaddle her. Amen. To bring her into union. I'm showing you, beloved, that the salt covenant, the covenant's got to come on. Why? If you don't let it come on, you're going to love yourself more than you love the Lord. Amen. Every time somebody gouges you and you feel it and you jump and you're so uncomfortable and you wonder if they're talking about you, if they're against you, if they're for you, beloved, when the salt's there, it don't matter who's for or who's against.
You see what I mean? Only one thing matters, and that's your union with Jesus. Amen. And you just keep on marching on, praise God, and you become dead to everything round about you except Him and pleasing Him. And I tell you, you've got to keep on getting salt rubbed on. Even after you start getting it rubbed in the beginning, you've got to keep on eating of Jesus and letting Him rub the salt on you, beloved, until you become dead to everything and alive to Him. How many of you understand what we've been speaking about? Let's bow our heads now and thank God for here's a word here this morning.
This is the end of sermon study number R2R34.